Welcome to Tuesday Night Chassidus. In general, this class is dedicated to the Elias and the Shoma of Shlomo ben Moshe, our good friend Bundi. But I'm open for any particular specific dedications, before Shlemus, etc.
So we have Elias and the Shoma for Yeshua ben Michal.
Yeshua ben Michal. The Shoma is of heaven.
Yeah.
That's it?
Yep.
Okay. So we're going to start. We are at the cusp.
You started it?
Yeah, I'm sorry. So I started to say that we are at the cusp, actually past the cusp, of Chodesh Elul. The 15th, of course, was the full moon, and now we're on the other side of the full moon, heading slowly, day by day, into Rosh Hashanah. And just a couple of remarks before we get into the inyan of the new year and making it truly new, which is the subject of this night's class. So, okay. So for the last 2 weeks, we've been talking about Chodesh Elul, Ani L'Daydi V'Daydi Li, the time when God is available to us and all we have to do is want Him. I am to my beloved. I is us, the Jewish people, and that in turn resonates upstairs, so to speak, and God shows His face, His smiling face, and makes Himself available to us. And we have more of this until we get to Rosh Hashanah, more of the open availability and access to Hashem Himself as He shows Himself in the field. But for Him to show Himself means that we're looking, and we need to know how to look. So we talked about how to develop so-called eyes to see. Eyes to see, in a nutshell, is as the opening of oneself. One opens up oneself, one becomes, relieves and destroys all the barriers by just simply giving yourself over, without even thinking about it. Just, you know, like some, if someone told you today that the king was in the field and you were a subject to the king, and he's open for you to just come run out and see him. And I once said, you know, maybe in our culture, it would be a famous person. We would go to the extent that our heart is attached to that person. So we're running. We're running to see him. And after we've passed the cusp, which is the full moon, the greatest expression of this, we're now on the other side of the moon, the side of the moon that's diminishing in terms of that openness, but there are a couple of landmarks along the way before we start. And one is the 15th of Elul itself. 15th of Elul itself was the founding of Yeshivas Tamchei Temim in Lubavitch. Now, I know a number of people out there are not necessarily connected with Lubavitch, but I just want to say in a nutshell, the Rabbi Rashab, who founded the yeshiva, was asked, why did Europe and Russia need another yeshiva? There were lots of yeshivas. He said that this yeshiva is going to be founded in such a manner that Chassidus will be learned like nigla. Chassidus will be learned closely, carefully, word by word, which is what we're going to do tonight and what we try to do in each of our shiurim. In addition, we are coming up to Chai Elul. Chai Elul, the life of Elul. The very life force of Elul is encapsulated, and since we mentioned Chassidus, Chai Elul happens to be the birthday of both the Baal Shem Tov and the Alter Rebbe. So we're moving toward the birth of Chassidus. So it's a very good time for anyone who's joining us for the first time, and it's a very good time for me and everybody who's been involved in Chassidus for a long time to plunge ourselves into this mimer, knowing that the whole Yeshiva Tamchei Temim was founded to learn Chassidus in detail, and this will coming up to the birthday, basically, of Chassidus, the founder of which was the Baal Shem Tov, and the Chassidus that we're learning is Chassidus Chabad from the Alter Rebbe. Okay, with that said, let's start our class, our learning. This maimer is a maimer from the Alter Rebbe based on a pasuk in Tilim, Tiku B'chei D'Shefer. Blast in this month the Shefer. Now, there are three voices of the Shefer, Tekiah, Shabor, and Teruah. The tekiah is a simple blast, which is understood by Chazal as what's the blast is the attention getter, number one. And number two, it's the sound that accompanies the coronation of every king. So the whole notion of Malchus, kingship, and what's called in Chassidus and Kabbalah the sphera of Malchus is going to be very central to this mind, to get the attention of the king, and at the same time to complete the coronation of the king. That's the first blast of the Sefer. And when does it happen? Plus it goes on, Tigel B'chai the Sefer, you should blow in the month the Sefer. And what part of the month? The Chesel Yem Chagenu. At the very beginning, when the moon is new, when the moon has no light whatsoever, when the moon is totally dark, unlike our other holidays like Pesach and Sukkot and even Shavuos. The other two, the first two, Pesach and Sukkot, fall on the 15th of the month, and this is the only holiday that falls on the first of the month, and specifically was given by Hashem to be observed on the day, which is when the moon is covered. B'chesed l'yem chagenu, when there is a covering to the day of our festival. Ki chayk l'Yisrael, the puzzle goes on, is a statute to the Jewish people, u'mishpat l'elokei Yaakov, and it's a judgment to the God of Jacob. That's the puzzle. So let's explain. Hine kol chadashim nikru chadshei hashana. Every month, as I'm sure most people on the call know, and on the Facebook Live know, and certainly everybody at the table, that every month is called a chadash. Anybody here know what chadash means? What's the word chadash?
No.
New. It means new. N-E-W, right? So our calendar renews every month, not by the sun, but by the moon. And that's appropriate because the moon, rather than the sun, goes through phases. The moon is a new moon. When is that? On the first of the month. So every month is a chiddush, is a news, and it's a new moon, it's a new month. So all the months are called chadshei hashana, the months of the year. Hashenken Tishrei, which is also, of course, one of the months, but Tishrei is called chodesh tam. It's not called one month of the year, it's called chodesh tam. It's just, as we said in the pasuk, tiku b'chodesh. Right? Which month is that? There's only one month which gets just the name Chiddush, something totally new, and that's the month of Tishrei. Chiddush Tam. Chiddush Klali. Now, what is inherent in that fact that it's just that month that is called a Chiddush? That's the, like, as you would say, the real news, the most newsworthy?
New.
N-E-W-S. New and news. It's the most new, it's the most news. It brings the most news with it. And we'll see what the news is. And that's why I entitled the class Making the New Year Truly New. Because every year every month is a Chiddush. But this month that we're approaching is the month of the new, the totally new, the big news. Chiddush Tam, just news. And that means, what it means is the Chiddush Klali L'Klalos Ha'olamis. It's a general renewal for the entire worlds, all the worlds. All the highest worlds, the spiritual worlds, and this lower worlds as well. And it's the beginning of bringing into worlds from nothing to something. Now, a very short explanation. And by the way, I'm going to give an opportunity here for questions when there's appropriate time to stop. This everything that's in this world goes through changes. Right? If you have a piece of food on the table and you leave it out, it's going to decay. If you give birth to something, it's going to develop. The change is a function of this world. Now, that's a change within the realm, let's say, as I'm describing, in the realm of physicality. It's just a different form. It decays the physicality or it grows the physicality, but it's just a change within the world with the realm of physicality. At some point in time, or actually we'll see at some point out of time, some point above time, the whole of worlds came into existence as it were from nothing. And that nothing means something that's totally beyond definition, totally beyond tangibility, totally beyond what we can ken, what we can know with our rational mind. And we call that the bringing into being from Ayin L'Yesh. V'fishaboy Rosh Hashanah. And this is when Rosh Hashanah comes. Rosh Hashanah, so what we're learning in this little line here, Rosh Hashanah, the big news of Rosh Hashanah is that all the worlds are being recreated from scratch. Ma'ayin liyesh, every Rosh Hashanah. Shehu v'chinez reishu moichem shel Hashanah, because Rosh Hashanah, it's not called the beginning of the year, not even called the new year. It's called the head of the year. And we're going to now probe a little bit the analogy between our head and the head of the year to understand what it means to be a head of something. So it's b'chinez reishu moichem shel Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah is the head, and take it literally, like our head, and it's the brains of the year. Just like the brain in the body is the central control system for absolutely everything that goes on in the body. So Rosh Hashanah is a new, it's a chiddush, it's a chiddush stam, it's a new head for the entirety of creation. And this is one of the reasons, by the way, that amongst the ramifications of the seven mitzvahs that are applicable to all nations, Rosh Hashanah is one of them, not to observe them according to halacha, but to mark that Rosh Hashanah, because this is true of the entire creation. This isn't just the Jewish thing. So we're going to explore a little bit about these three states of reality. Olam, world, Shana, time, and Nefesh. Olam is, you could substitute the word place or space. Space, time, and soul. And in their source, they're all equal, because there's a driving life force, an all-encompassing singularity, a point of driving life force, which was called the soul of the worlds. And that soul of the worlds gives rise to the dimensions we call space and time, or what we call worlds. Any questions about that?
No.
Maybe? Okay. You should know, by the way, for people at the table. People at the table have been learning with us for a long time together. Right? But I had no idea who was out there. So I want you guys to help me. I'm sure I'm going to turn it over to one of you soon. But I'm speaking to the imaginary person who maybe doesn't know so much, right? So I'm trying to make it clear. But if you feel that I'm slowing down too much, give me a little high sign. Okay. Also, okay? Okay. So we have a totally new beginning, meaning bringing the word, this is not just like any old month. The news is that Rosh Hashanah is the point in which the singularity of the infinite becomes reinvested in the creation of finite things called space and time. Space and time. Olam Shana, the Nefesh. The Nefesh is the driving force, and it creates space and time. Shekamei Sheyesh B'Nefesh. And we'll see, he's going to help us think about this very simply. Think about ourselves. Sheyesh B'Nefesh, even a person. A person has a soul. A person has a Rosh Hashanah, has a head and a brain within the head, hopefully. Shebargilei Klalos Achayos. And in that soul, and exuded from that soul, is the whole generality of the life force of the organism, of the person. As we said, Menu Nishbar Nimshach Be'Evorim. And that Chayos, which is in the soul, and which is lodged in the head and the brain, as I said, the control center of everything in the body, is drawn into the limbs, and into each limb gets its highest prati, each one gets its particular kind of chayas. Remember, at its source, there's no particularities. Hashem is echad, Hashem is one. And our neshama also, at its source, has no particularities. But from that seed of vast non-particularities, there emerges very particular, infinite number of myriad differentiators. Everybody and everything very different. A grain of sand different from a star, and one person different from another. So from that singularity, there's drawn down into, and in the analogy now of the human body, very different kinds of limbs. Each limb gets its particular life force, the chol aver. The arm moves like an arm. It doesn't see like an eye. And an eye, and vice versa, sees. So everyone gets, each limb gets its proper channeled life force, mizogi b'tchunoso, in a mixture and in a form which is appropriate for it. So kach hu ba'olam hashana. Now, the world, the human being is called an odom katan, because of a small world. Because we are created in the... We're called an oilam cotton. What did I say? Adam cotton?
Yeah.
We're called an Olam Kon. We're called a small world.
Right.
And we reflect the large world. So just like our small world, we're a central place from which everything emerges in its wondrous particularities and very exacting details. So the large world also. And the large world is place, or place. And in addition to place, there's time. So kahu ba'olam b'shana. So similarly, it is in the world at large and in the time at large, space and time. Olam is b'chinas makim. World is what we call place. B'shana and year. Shana is also the word shinui. Shinui means change, right? So change is a function of time. So shana is b'chinas zman. So olam b'chinas makim. World is called place, and shana is time. Which, how is this relevant to us? So, Rosh Hashanah, in the time which is called the head of the year, remember, the central control center of all of place and time, Ugili Klalos Achayas, that's when every year the whole entire generality of life force is renewed into the world. So this is why it's called Chodesh Tam. It's not called one month of the year. It's called a total renewal. It is a total renewal of the entire creation, from nothing to something. Well, the menu, and from that head, Rosh, the head of the year, Nimshech Chayes Prati L'Kol Chodesh, that's where each and every month gets its particular chidush from, its particular newness. Chikol Chodesh Hu Ischad Shesech Chayes, because each and every month is just a smaller renewal. Right? The moon renews itself. It's a smaller renewal. From Ma'ayin Lesh, from nothing to something. Ha'pechol Chodesh Hu Hischachis Chayes Prati. Each and every month is a specific, a renewal of a particular kind of Chayes, back to the limbs in the body. Let's say, let's take the eye for example. The eye, you know, in Tilim also, it says that Hashem is Mechadish Pechol Yom Tomid Ma'as Bereshis. He's Mechadish, the same way he renews every moment the deed of creation. But these are specific, in other words, the power of the eye to see is being continually reinvested in the eye. The power of the mouth to speak is being continually reinvested in the mouth. But the existence of the organism itself, the human organism, the creation of that whole general structure of head, body, torso, legs, etc., and all the limbs and organs, that the renewal of that whole structure happens once a year. On Rosh Hashanah, when the entirety of Adam and the entirety of Olam is renewed. So this is a...
If you don't mind, I just wanted to see if I'm getting this right.
Sure.
Saying that Nefesh, in conjunction with the human being, right, is drawn down into the body.
Right.
And
right. So Nefesh is the... Right.
I just want to... I get it. Okay. And then Shana, right, which is time, right, gets... Olam, which is the place, the world,
Makan.
Right, gets its infusion from...
Nefesh.
Also from Nefesh.
Yeah, both Nefesh infuses both place and time. Like Hashem, when he creates...
Nefesh infuses the month of the year.
We're talking about place and time, right?
Right, but then you explain that time, just like an organism... Right, that's what I'm asking.
Right.
The question is, just like the organism of a body is... infused, each limb is infused by Nefesh,
right.
The months of the year are like, so to speak, an organism like a body, but where do they get their infusion from?
Months of the year?
Yeah.
Get their infusion from the Etzem, you mean each month of the year?
Each month of the year.
So, let's be careful with the mushroom. Nefesh,
okay.
Right?
Yeah.
It's the power plant.
Right.
It's the power plant, right?
Okay.
And we'll stay with the human body. So the human body is enlivened by a power plant called Nefesh. That enlivening takes two forms in general, place and time.
Okay.
So let's take a place, the eye, right? It's a place. What happens to the eye as a person grows older? It goes through changes.
Right.
Shinui. Never go to an optometrist and you need a new set of glasses.
Mm-hmm.
Shinui is time. So every organ exists both in a place and in a time. Following?
Right.
So place and time are created by the Nefesh. Just like it's easier to think as the Nefesh creates a thing, like an arm, but it's also responsible for the changes that occur in the body. The aging. Aging. Everybody aging.
Nefesh creates a time.
Yes. It creates change. Shinui, time.
No,
year.
I get that. I get that based on that, but I thought time was created in the creation of the world.
But now you're going back to creation. The metaphor is the body.
Okay.
Then we can go back to creation. Just like in the body, there's a central driving force which creates the things and the qualities that every organ has,
mm-hmm.
and also is responsible for the changes in the quality of everything that there is, which is the dimensions of space and time in the body.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
Now we go upstairs.
Okay.
Upstairs we have the deepest levels of God consciousness, right, in which everything exists without any definition whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
And from there, the first two things that emerge from there in the most general way are place and time. Things and things that change. Things and the change in things across another dimension called time. So that's that thing that I see my hand is raised up to is the soul of creation. That thing that I have my hand raised up to is analogous to the neshama in the body. Just like the neshama in the body creates the objects and the limbs of the body, the plates, eye, ear, nose, and throat, and also creates the changes that occur in the eye, ear, nose, and throat. So similarly, upstairs there's a thing called nefesh. We'll call it God himself before he contracts himself into any dimensions. And once he contracts himself into dimensions, there is existence of both place and time. We have worlds, right, place, and worlds go through shinui. Things change.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Okay.
Good evening. All right. So the skinny on what we've said so far is that the reason Rosh Hashanah is called Chodesh Stam. It says, Tiku B'Chodesh. It says, blast in the month. Well, which month? Which month? The month which has no name at all. The month which is, of course it has a name, it's called Tishrei, but these are later dimensions. It's the month which is the source of renewal in its very essence, and which will become the source of the ultimate specific renewals which roll out afterwards the other 12 months of the year. So Tishrei is a totally different month. It's the head of all heads. If each month, as we said earlier, has a head, because each month is called a Chodesh, Chodesh Tamiz, Chodesh Elul we're in, each one is a Chidush, but this is the only one which is just Tiku B'Chodesh. The entirety of renewal happens on Tishrei. And it happens particularly at the time when we blow Shofar. But that's a later topic. And we're holding here by the line. This begins Shiva Rosh Hashanah. You see it? About 10 lines down.
Mm-hmm.
Second column. Yeah. Shiva Rosh Hashanah. It's abbreviated. Because Rosh Hashanah is the time. Well, let's not call it the time. It's the level in which there is a gili klalus achayas of the generality of chayas, which is, again, just to your point, analogous to the neshama, right? The neshama is the klalus achayas of the body, so Rosh Hashanah is the revelation of the klalus achayas of all creation. U'memenu nimsha chayas prati, and just like the soul, from the soul, is drawn out specific powers,
mm-hmm.
right? The kol chaydesh, right? So the From Chodesh Stam, which is Tishrei, Chodesh Tishrei, there's drawn out particular powers to each of the other months.
Why do you get the name Stam? I'm not understanding
Stam?
Yeah.
Stam means Chodesh Stam. What do you mean? What don't you understand?
Where did that
Chodesh
come from? Why is Tishrei called Chodesh
Stam? Stam means just plain, without any adjective. Without any, just. It's not a particular chodesh. It's tiku b'chodesh, stam, without anything said about it, without anything else said about it. It's not amongst chad she'hashana. It's not the months of the year. It's not chad she'ha It's not Chodesh Hashanah, it's just Chodesh Stam, alone. And the fact that it's alone indicates that it's something really different about this Chodesh from all the other Chodeshim, right? All the other Chodeshim are months, right. And this one's different. Because Kol Chodesh Hu is Chodesh Achayis Ma'ayin Yesh. This, okay. Rosh Hashanah is a revelation of the general Chayis, which comes from down into lower levels in each and every month. Because each and every month is a renewal of the Chayis from nothing to something. After Kol Chodesh, however, in every month, meaning every other month, who is Chayis Chayis Prati, is a specific characteristic. Just like the soul gives rise to specific characteristics in all the different organs of the body, or limbs and organs of the body. But Rosh Hashanah, in Rosh Hashanah, is Chachis Achayis Klali Bekol Hashanah. This is the general drawing down of life force the entire year. So the title of the class is The New Year, making It Truly New. What we first need to just internalize, or at least think about, it's not internalized, is that without us doing anything yet, something new, totally new is happening around us. All the creation is being renewed from nothing into something, right? Truly, not like each month of the year, which is, it's a new thing, but it's not new like at the source of everything.
But don't you say that Hashem is constantly renewing everything?
Yeah, but you're learning here. There's different ways to take Kiddush, right? Mm-hmm. Right? At the lowest level, is Mechadish, the same word, B'chol Yom Tov and Ma'aseh Bereishis. Everything is being recreated, right? But the creation is being renewed. But behind the creation, let's go two levels behind the creation. Behind the creation is it rose up in Hashem's mind to create. And he thought about it. It's called his Chokhmah, right? How to do it. And we'll go another level back. It rose up in his will to create. He wanted to create. He thought about how to create, and he created. So we have already three levels in his kiddushin, his him making something new, something that wasn't exposed yet before. His will, his chokmah, and his actions. I'm just taking big steps. I mean, action from thought, you get to speech, and speech you get to action. Okay, there's a lot of steps, and each one is a kiddush. When I sit or you sit at a table and express a new idea. Someone says, wow, I never thought about that, right? You're expressing a new idea. It came from somewhere, which is also probably a chiddush in your own mind. You never thought about it before. And that may have come from an even deeper level in your mind. So there's all levels of chiddush, right? Each month is sort of out, and if you guys understand, if this is like the beginning of everything where we'll use the terms, I would like to use the Freudian terms, subconscious. This is total subconscious over here, right? Something's happening here, but I don't know what it is at all. And if you could say such a thing, kaviyocho, there's a level of God where something is happening, but he hasn't let it be known at all, right? Not let it be known at all, right? When it comes to the next level, Freud's is the preconscious. It's a chiddush, meaning it's exposed. Never saw this before, so if I'm a viewer of it, this is a big chiddush, something that never existed before. And then we come out to consciousness. Now I'm aware of it. These are just levels in a person's own way. I'm using this muscle, levels of a human being. Unconscious, preconscious, conscious. Now I'm aware of it, okay? I wasn't aware of it before. It's a chiddush. But it wasn't the original chiddush. The original chiddush was it came from unconscious to conscious, to preconscious. And now there's you people out here, and it's in my mind, right? It's in my conscious mind, and I have to think I'm pretending I'm a teacher, and I have to think about how am I going to express it. So then I'm going to contract it even further to hopefully find the right words to express it so that people will understand. And if it's something really profound and it comes out of my mouth in the proper way, it'll be a chiddush to you. Wow. Never heard that before, right? That's a whole new perspective on things. But that's already one, two, three, four levels out in chiddush, right? So, yeah, he's doing that every day. But every day he's out here speaking the word. He creates with the metaphor of speech, right? And when we say b'chol yom mechadish, is mechadish b'chol yom tamid ma'aseh bereishis, It's not even speech. It's deed. So let's work backwards, right? Every day he's making the Kiddush at the level of deed. The deed itself really is a formation of something that he says, because the metaphor for creation is speech. Hashem, v'yamiv v'yahi, spoken it was. So this is a Kiddush out here, Ma'aseh Bereishis. This is a little deeper Kiddush. This is the speech of Hashem. A little deeper Kiddush is the thought of Hashem. A little deeper Kiddush is the intellect of Hashem. A little deeper is the unconscious of Hashem, and even deeper are the preconscious and then the unconscious. So this is Chodesh Tov. This is something that comes from that level of depth. So that's why it's different from making the deed of creation. The Rosh Hashanah is his Hachis Chayas Klal. That's the key word. It's the renewal of the entirety, of the entire generality of the whole notion of creation. And that the entirety of the whole notion of creation comes into existence from nothing to something on Rosh Hashanah, and then devolves or spreads out in particularities for all year. All right, now I just stopped and said, so we wanted to, how to make the new year new is the topic. Well, God is making the new year new. I hope that you can nod or talk. Is it clear that God is making this whole year new year? Making all of creation new. It's not, and nothing to do yet with us. This is just what's happening.
But here's the thing, you know.
Yet with us. What?
That means he can also create a new reality for each other.
He could create a new reality, and he does. Ashtaka Pratis is a new reality every second. But isn't, that isn't probably what you meant.
I mean, like, on the new year, everything is decided for the coming year.
Yeah, right.
And then it's when we talk about renewal, it means like really Hashem can really create a new reality for someone.
Yeah. A whole new reality is available to every one of us. Mm. Every Rosh Hashanah. We haven't spoken yet about our role in this and how to.
Really, we have some work to do on that.
So. Yeah. Well, it's always the work, you know?
Yeah.
All right, since we're pausing, anybody out there, which psalm? Someone asked me, which psalm is this? The opening line is from Psalm 81. Psalm 81. Anybody on the phone have anything they'd like to ask or comment?
You feel me?
A new voice.
Okay.
All right. So with that, let me turn it over to anyone who wants to read. After that, see the brackets that I put on this page?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just skipping a lot of parentheses, which is until Ubechol Shun. Ubechol Shun of the brackets are not again.
Got it.
Anyone
want to read?
You want to read? Go ahead.
Go for it, Akiva.
Ubechol Shana, Mitzchadesh, Chayat, Chloe, Achim.
So every year, this complete renewal that happens on Rosh Hashanah is a completely different reality.
This book.
And this revelation, this new thing, it's come from a particular place, and we'll just say very generally. Most people know, but I can't take it for granted, that there are 10 spheros, the last of which is called Malchus. Malchus is the birthplace. Malchus is the womb. There's many Mishalim for Malchus, but the one that looks most appropriate to me at the moment here is the womb, because the womb is going to take something which is completely hidden, and it's going to go through some processes there, which are also pretty hidden, and then give birth to something that had never been in the world before. Okay with that, Akiva?
Yeah.
Okay. So that's the place, if you want to know the place, where the Chiddush is going to come from. It's going to come from the womb, which is Malchus, right? And that's why it's called the revelation of Malchus. And also, one more thing, Malchus means what? Simply means
kingship.
King.
Mm-hmm.
So this is the day on which we crown the king. And we'll put two together. When you crown the king, what you're actually doing, and you guys, I mean, this is probably not a big deal to think of, but you're actually doing, you're empowered.
Right.
Until that time, the king, until coronation day, you know, or inauguration day, whatever, for the presidency, the so-called elected king, or the appointed king, or the geborene, or the one who was born to be king, is not effective and can't be effective until coronation day. And coronation day is when his kingship becomes evident. His kingship is reborn on Rosh Hashanah.
Yes. Okay. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, because this is, and with this okay, go ahead, sir. This level of kingship, or this level in the ten spheres of kingship, which is responsible for the creation of all the myriad infinite worlds, is called Memalikol Alma. This is how God fills the worlds with himself. Before that, the expression, Hu v'shmoy bilvad, he and his name are alone. Right? That's all there was. But now, again, the kingdom. The name of the king, he says that it's Pasuk from Shlomo Melech, I don't remember which writing, Devar Melech Shalten, the word of the king dominates. Right? Now he starts to speak. Before that, the word, back to our levels of consciousness, the word, what he wanted to speak, was embedded inside of him. Hu v'shmei bilvad, he and his name are alone. But now we're coronating him, and what he wants to be expressed becomes expressed. And that's called how he fills all worlds. Even the upper worlds. I mean, we're not going to go into all the details, but take it that there are spiritual worlds way beyond the spiritual worlds that are directly connected with our physical world. We have physical world. This world, by the way, is the only physical world, this world that we live in. Everything else, which is mostly everything, other than, is spiritual. And so he creates the upper worlds, the spiritual worlds, the godly worlds, the spiritual worlds, as well as the physical worlds on Rosh Hashanah. It's all being created.
Parallel universes?
Mm-hmm. What do you mean by parallel universe?
Like physical parallel universe where there's you actually
sitting there,
but we're talking.
Well, it depends what you mean. Oh, not like that, but there are obviously other universes. This we live in a particular galaxy in a particular universe, right? And we know enough to know that we don't know how expansive this whole structure is. So we do know enough to know that there is a possibility, and the Torah acknowledges this, for there to be some form of life in other universes. But we're just saying now, parallel universes where there's a me parallel to me somewhere else, that's not a concept I'm familiar with, you know, in Torah.
Achena, Giloi, Polyo.
Stop. It's too bad I threw it out of the room. This is a key phrase. We just talked about all this thing, and everything we've been talking about for the past, 40 minutes. We just said all of this revelation depends on our deeds down here below. This is a turning point.
Okay.
We came back at just the right time.
Okay.
All of what we've been talking about is chiddush from nothing to something. Akiva just said the most important sentence. Achina Gilizeh, this revelation of all that we've been talking about, Toli B'maisa Tavtenu, depends on our deeds. Go ahead. And this is what's meant in the very first word of our pasuk. Tiku. We have to do tiku. We have to blow. We have to blast. I'm not going to, you know, add any. I'll let him add what does this mean. And you put these two words together, and you've got the whole thing in a nutshell. We have to be a Baal Tekeah. That's what the one who blows the shofar is called, Baal Tekeah, a master of blasting, in order, the Chodesh, to bring about this Chodesh. Now, It's with many other memoirs, and we'll say this here tonight just to put this in perspective. The world, we didn't exist until he created us, obviously,
right.
Like everything else. So initially, the world was created, which was called Chesed Chinom. Gratuitous kind. He wanted to create, he created. But as soon as he put Adam on this planet, I'm just pointing to Lady because of parallel, on this particular planet, he changed the name of the game. And he put us here for one particular reason, to continually draw him into recreating the world in the way that it was meant to be created in the first place, the chesed, in a kind way, and in a settled way. And even deeper than that, as we'll learn more, but when we get down to the Tomb of the Mimer, not only to bring the world back to its state of settledness that it was before, how many moments were there between the act of creating man and the sin of the Eitz HaDaas? Not too much time.
Well, right? Same thing, right? It was right before nightfall.
Night before nightfall, and then night fell, it was over. Okay. And he put us here, and he says now, to bring this world to the state that I, God, that he, God, envisions it, and we'll learn later, even a higher state than he envisioned it in the first place, depends on us. So now we have to explain, right, since the whole thing depends on tikkun, that we should blast the shofar, let's talk about the shofar. The shofar. And we're also going to talk about the inyan of Aseres Yemei Teshuva, the 10 days inclusive of Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. Shomer Zal, when our sages have said, Al Pasuk, Dishu Bahimotsoi. Look for him where he is found. Well, that's a wonderful thing. I would love to. But where is it? How can I look for him where he is? Well, they answer that. Where you'll find, where God is found, So God is found in the 10 days of Shuvah, right? And he asks the question, why these 10 days? What's different about these 10 days? Why are these 10 days are the days of Shuvah? Now, Shuvah, let's understand, we've heard this many times before, those have been learning Hasidus. Shuvah doesn't mean repentance, although repentance is a meaning. It means primarily return. The sin of Adam HaRishon, we distance ourselves from the revelation of God. The world became darkened. And Shuvah is returning to the place where the revelation of the Chiddush is in front of our face, where we could actually see the renewal that goes on every moment, and perhaps even deeper than that, see and experience that which Hashem has in store for the world different than last year, and that which Hashem has in store for us different than last year. That would be a revelation. But in general, we're not holding at that place because we haven't yet brought about, when it says, Gadol Shuva Shemebi Lugavula, great is Shuva, returning, because it brings the revelation. So this is not for the moment. Just think about that word returning. We're not going to put any meat on the bone, so to speak. But he created us. We distance ourselves from him, all part of his plan, and he wants us to return to him. And these days have been designated as specifically designed for us, easy for us, easier than other time, to do shuva, to return to him.
Wouldn't it be during Elul when the king is in the field?
Pardon me?
Why wouldn't it be during Elul when the king is in the field?
Because when the king is in the field, the king's not operating as a king. Remember, he's just on his way back to the palace, right? So you're seeing him, and that's the beautiful thing. It's like, listen, I've mentioned this analogy last time. If you have a famous, very famous actor, very famous musician, rock and roll star, whatever, right? You really want to see that person perform. You want to see that person. That's what makes the person, that you know. That your whole investment in the person is because of the person really can do something. When the king is in the field, you're seeing it's a wonderful thing.
It's interesting because I think of it differently. I think of it as that rock star that was like your friend growing up, and it's like almost like as they're on their rise to fame,
right.
It's almost like don't forget me when you're famous. Like that's what we're telling Hashem. Don't forget us when you go back into the palace.
Good.
and we're giving him that word, we're greeting him in the field. It's like, oh, you're going, you're headed your way to the palace. Don't forget us when you're being crowned.
That's not right. That's very good. That's very good.
That's how I look at it.
That's very good. And it's also, you mentioned the word intimate. In the field, you have a kind of, or where you grew up with your rock and roll star friend, you had an intimacy, a sense of, you know, person-to-person connection. And when the king is in the palace, if you have that kind of connection, when he's in the palace and giving and acting like a king, you have an even deeper connection with him than the person who had no intimate connection with him in the first place, right? But that's a good way of expressing it. There's a certain intimacy that's in the field, and there's a certain power and majesty, which is the creative force that comes when he's on stage.
Almost like Hashem, that's why like a piano on Mecca is like really beautiful, because that analogy, all the analogies work so beautifully, because when we're talking to Hashem, we don't want to be just address the king. We're addressing we're talking to a regular king, right? Addressing the king, yeah, he's in his royal garb and he's wearing his crown. We're saying to him, I'm your friend, remember me? Like,
right.
We were on the same level.
Right.
At, you know, like there
right.
was, we have that connection with the eye to eye.
Think
know?
About it. Even deeper. I'm your kid.
Right.
Oh, wow. I'm part of your flesh.
Right.
Yeah. And that you can have in the field. And we want him, and you're going in a very nice direction, because we want him to remember that. There are three parts of the Rosh Hashanah Davening. Right? Malchus, Zechreinos. Remember who we really are. Right? And then Shoifers.
Right.
Very nice. So, these are the days when we can, now I'll add more meat on the bone, return to that state of intimacy, of connection with you that we had in the first place. Tina. So it's written, your kingship is the kingship of all worlds. And we're going to now focus on the topic of Malchus, kingship. Pirush. Which means, when we say all worlds, we're talking about, go ahead. Stop. We're learning Hasidus like Gemara, like Nigla, right? Every word is exact, right? There isn't one word in the Torah. There isn't one letter in the Torah that doesn't have an infinite teaching. Because this is, well, you know, this is coming from the Ein Sof itself. And these writings, the oral Torah and the oral Torah, which includes the Kabbalah and Hasidus, is all just the drawing out in a finer and finer and more refined way. Okay. Look at the word olam. He says, Malchusecha kol olamim. Your kingship is the kingship of all worlds. Olamim is Lashon Helam. The same root letters, ayin, lamed, mem, which means concealment, are the root of olam. And this is something, of course, we said many times, because it's many maimonim, that you need to know that all the worlds, when we say that Hashem created ma'ayin leyesh, from nothing to something. He created from a level which has nothing you can say about it, because it has no form, shape, definition. You can't attach any name to it. In Pasuk Eliyahu, in Shabbos Davening, we say about him, it's from the Zohar, you have no name, but you fill all names. You have no name, but you fill all names. The you have no name is the you, this is called the Ayin. It has no name. But that, and that's totally, it's more than infinite. You know, because infinite implies that it goes on forever. But the infinity of Hashem encapsulates both going on forever and holding back to going on forever. Because if he couldn't restrain himself, he would be limited. So he has an infinity that's past what we normally call infinite. He has an all-finity. I just made up the word. All-finity. Right, everything is encapsulated in the iron, in what we called earlier the unconscious. No definition, right? In order to make worlds, in order to bring forth worlds that do have definition and have finitude connected with it, he has to mask that infinitude. He has to put a cover over it if he wants discrete things. He has to put a cover, not that Vinod is an indiscretion, he has to put a cover over non-discrete. So Lushan, to make worlds, he has to conceal himself. Is that okay?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? Okay. So every world is at heart a concealment. Oilam from Lushan Hell. Go ahead. Shekoydan.
Shekoydan.
His Havas. So before the worlds came into being, now before, this is an interesting word. You have to understand, we have said this many times, but it's something to drill into my head. Koidim can't be understood in Chassidus as just before, because there is no time. There's no time. Time becomes a creation. So there's no before and after. So when it says Koidim, it means back at a level, deeper than time and space. Before there came into being any notion even, as well as any materiality of time and space of the worlds, he and his name existed alone. There was an inkling, I don't know the right word for it, a notion is even too much. There's something that rose up in his mind to create. It says, Oyla b'ratzone livra. It rose up in his mind to create. So that's called his name. His name is when he's going to express something. It's not yet expressed. It's just in his mind. Anyone else want to take over?
Sure.
In order to bring these worlds into being from nothing to something, He contracted and concealed the light of the flow of the infinite, may he be blessed, in order that there should be only a revelation of his kingship. And this revelation of his kingship alone, that's what gives life and existence, sustained existence, to all the worlds, upper and lower. This contraction that he did, his hiding that he did, Oilam, Rosh, and Helam, is only from the perspective of worlds. But he himself has not been affected. There's a famous discussion. Akiri, right? Okay. Hopefully we'll see you next week for the culmination, the climax. I won't go into it, but there's an argument amongst Kabbalists about whether the Tzimtzum affected him or not. And this is the this view of the world, which is that the contraction did not affect him at all. This is the view that on the Arizal, etc., that strain in Chassidus holds. So this is the notion that this contraction, as you just said, didn't affect him. It only affected the worlds. No change by him. As for sure. As is written, also, whereas in Tillim, I believe, yeah, Tillim, that darkness doesn't darken him. What does that mean? Well, let's explain.
Well, if he created darkness, then...
If he created darkness, he obviously is... above the darkness.
But everything coexists within Hashem. So
right.
It's not, by that point, it's not darkness anymore.
That's, yes, okay. But we wouldn't call that darkness. Okay, fine. But what you're saying is absolutely true. But more, I think, to the point here, the darkness, which we call the hiding of himself,
mm-hmm.
right, lo yachshech, didn't darken him. That's, in other words, this pasuk in Tillim is a proof, so to speak, a proof text for the fact that the Tzimtzum didn't affect him.
Okay.
The darkness of creating the worlds, the Tzimtzum, didn't create any darkness from him.
Batu Rishon
Kulu. And the Hulu is important. Batu Rishon, Batu Acharin. You're the same you who was before the world was created, at the outset, as he is after the world was created. Nothing is changed. Yeah. Exactly.
So why would that be a conversation among Kabbalists if the symptom affected him when it actually says Amiha violation?
the question. Why didn't they just throw that on the table? I don't know. It's a good question.
Hashem literally says flat out, I never
changed. I am Hashem, I haven't changed. I don't have an answer. And I'm not going to make one. Because everything in front of him is considered like nothing. And he's called the King, the Exalted One, who is alone. Oz. Oz is really means from then. Oz is like Oz Yoshe Moshe.
Right.
Then he spoke.
Yeah.
But it's a key word in Chassidus. Oz is a time and place that you can't before time and place. He is always alone. This whole stuff that's in front of him, all the worlds, is nothing in front of him. So he is still alone.
You know the irony is?
Yeah, plenty of irony.
Everyone is so afraid to be alone. People are afraid to be alone, mm-hmm. right? To be alone, or maybe
people
lonely.
Right.
But the thing is that Hashem is alone.
Yeah, so what's the difference?
No, it's not, I don't mean the difference. I mean, if we would think to ourselves, you know, we're never really alone. Aside from that, we're alone with God wherever we go, right? But
how are we alone if we're alone with God?
Right. There's one of our ironies.
Right.
But how is Hashem alone if he has us? But is he alone? But he's alone because he's alone because he's higher than us.
Not only higher than us, but
right.
We are just like something that comes out of him. We're just
the same way we live, like it says, that we're created in Hashem's image. But that aloneness that we feel, or that loneliness that we feel sometimes, is that maybe there's a little bit of
loneliness in God.
Well, there is. Loneliness is different than being alone.
There's aloneness in God.
Aloneness.
But it's hard to say, right, that he feels lonely. When we feel aloneness, what does it feel? I don't know what it is.
Yeah, we can't even touch that. But what I'm trying to say is that we're created in Hashem's image, and we live like Hashem, and we, you know, if we would tap into that feeling of alone and understand that Hashem is alone, maybe we wouldn't feel so lonely or alone.
Why is that? Because since he, can't tell me why would we feel less lonely if we tapped into his being alone?
Everything we have comes from Hashem, right? We have a piece of Hashem.
Right.
You know, sometimes it makes a person feel better that they're not the only one going through something, and sometimes it makes them feel worse, right?
Right.
It depends. But if we would understand that, like, when we're feeling alone, to tap into that aloneness of Hashem and connect to Hashem during that time, we wouldn't feel.
Wow, that's an interesting thing. Because if you tapped into the aloneness of Hashem,
right,
you would be tapping into the allness of everything.
Yeah. Wow, that's can I write that down for
yes.
a second?
If you tapped into the aloneness of Hashem, you would be tapping into the allness of everything.
Right.
That would do it.
Yeah, that's kind of what I
that would do. Yeah. Because his aloneness is not isolation and separation. His aloneness is that's all there is.
Wow.
Okay?
Wow.
Worth it.
Yeah, that was worth it.
Worth it.
Okay.
And that's called Ma'oz. That's where he lives, in Ma'oz,
right.
In that allness. Here is Shehu B'chinas Levada. He's alone. Kema'oz, just as he was at the beginning, in which everything
right,
was contained in him in a non-linear way.
And this is what we were bringing down with the revelation.
And that which the revelation of
right.
Malchus is drawn down. As it says, Hashem becomes a king when he dresses up in his garments, his beautiful garments. That he becomes a king in his beautiful, beautiful,
right.
beautiful garments, and his name is being called now by the people. Or we now call him
right.
king.
Yeah.
Because so it rose up in his will. To conceal and to hide the light of the infinite flow, may it be blessed. In order to bring into being worlds, which worlds are really a descent and a chaining down of a level, one level after another. Until we got to this world that we're in, this physical world, which is the lowest of all worlds.
Mishkan ha'adam.
In which is the dwelling place of the Adam,
right.
The human. In order to transform, it is pronounced Hashechad, but it's in order to transform darkness into light. In order that there should be the advantage of light which comes from darkness. This is a Zohar.
Mm.
Now I'm going to stop you. Does this make sense?
Yeah.
Lady, make sense to you?
Mm.
Okay. Anybody on the line? Well, this is a long time ago. From which text are we reading? Our text is the Maamar in Likutei Torah and Parshas Nitzavim from the Alter Rebbe, the Baal HaTanya. It's the first Maamar that it deals with Rosh Hashanah. Is there anybody on the phone who has anything to question or comment? Our sheer enjoyment, Hancho, assures me that there are people out there. And he has a list of last week over 100. I just wonder why I never hear from him. Why would that be? Okay, because they listen and they don't talk. All right, but I just want to make sure. Let's put this in a nutshell. He conceals himself in order to reveal to us.
Right.
He doesn't need any revelation. But he has this burning desire to create something that feels itself separate. Because by definition, if it's a created, it's going to be by concealing something of himself so that something separate emerges. And we're going to have that feeling of separateness. And at the same time, we are always and only a ray of the infinite. Okay? And he put us, that's who we are. That's the fact on the ground, right? And why did he do this? In order to create a entity, which is called an Adam, a human being, or a particularly Jewish human being, depends on how Adam is taken in context. But in any case, what's our job? To take this darkness, for which we all are all existence. If it weren't dark, we wouldn't experience ourselves as anything, right? To take this darkness and to transform it into light so that there will be what the Zohar calls an advantage of light which comes from the darkness. Good?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I hope it's good for everybody out there.
Very good.
Okay, good.
Very good. You really learn to appreciate the darkness. You really do.
You can, I'm not going to go into it, but if you learn, we will, and hopefully deeper, because it is.
Yeah.
What is a black hole? The ultimate of darkness is a deep concentration of light. And there are lots of expressions that light at its source is dark, black. So this darkness that this physicality, although it's the end of the chain, we also have a concept from Sefer Yetzirah, Noitz Techilas and B'Seifen,
right.
That the end is wedged in the beginning. In this darkness is a source of light which is more intense than the light that came traveling down. It's called the Orchizer, the returning light.
Right, and the light that will come after will be even more intense, right?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you want to read?
Umahu, after the little letters here, see where I'm pointing?
Yeah.
Umahu.
Umahu, Kaflit, Yitzarang.
So what's the whole point of this, and what is this advantage? Of the light which comes from darkness. What's the advantage of it?
Kaku latan elyon.
Yeah. So, first of all, without getting into any reasoning about it, first of all, you should know it's God's will. And Ratzon is the highest crown, the crown of the king. So, That's what he wants. Let's just start there. I mean, why, who, what, we don't know. But he does. He wants it. So this is, so we said, what is the tachlis, the whole point? What's the bechein? What's the so what of this light, this darkness? Well, you should first know that this is God's will. And because it's God's will, it means this darkness is coming from a very, very deep source in God, which we call the crown. Which is higher than wisdom and understanding, right? Our normative way of looking at what's our virtue starts with our brain. Chachma, Bina, Das. We have a brain faculty that's different, more complex, capable of many more things than any other creature in this physical world. But there's something above it. We'll use those structures. There's the sub-preconscious and the subconscious, right? So there's levels above Chachma. There's the levels above the brain. And we'll just leave it at that for the time being. So Ratzon, which is the crown, sits on top of the head, above the skull, and above the brain. There's two layers of separation between the brain and the crown. Brain, skull, and crown. And so we know, we can see there are levels above us. So there are levels above God's wisdom. We're just like, we're created in his image. His top brain is Chachma, but he's got levels beyond his Chachma, which are called Ratzon, higher than the level of Chachma and understanding.
In a crowd of the Zohar, the Rish, the
Hornanuta, the Malka. And what is this level called? The Zohar calls it the beginning of the crown, or on the head is the crown of the king.
What is Hermanusa? What's crown. Is that Hermanusa. An Aramaic word?
For Aramaic crown? For a crown. Yeah.
Why, man? Oh, okay. This is a quoting from
the from Zohar. Okay.
So
you see it in it. It has the word, the root is Rum.
Rum.
Rum, high. Right? Rum. The highest is beyond the structure of ten, mm-hmm. which is the crown. The crown of the king.
Vihine talks this, the Reshe, the Riyas, or Riyas.
Riyas.
Riyas. Hai.
Stop. So the beginning of the creation of worlds, when did it start? Where did it start? It started at that place in God, in the Godhead, above the head, the crown, when it rose up in his will. Will is synonymous with crown, right, before Chokma. When it rose up in his will, on its own. In other words, there was nothing to provoke it, because there was nothing else. There is nothing else. And that's what we call, next week, gratuitous kindness. It just rose up in his will to create.
Kamal Shekosuv, Ki,
Amarti,
Amarti Olam Chesed,
Yibar. As it says in Scripture, I said that the world should be created. I said that the world should be built, Yavana, with Chesed. From me. I just wanted to. But from Oz and Hala, from that state of Oz, which it's simply translating, I'm just playing with, from then and forward, right? From after that, so to speak, and forward. So from that point forward, after he rose up in his mind to create, and he created Adam, from that point forward, the continual drawing forth of God's will to create, to keep, to mechadish the creation, to bring new something from nothing to something, depends on our deeds down here below.
Hine Iker Zman Hamshachas Haratzan
Rosh Hashanah. In the main, drawing down, the root literally, the root time for drawing down this will is on Rosh Hashanah, because
Shabo Hitchachas Achthias Kvali Shal Shana Ha-Ba'a Hamshachas Ha-Chayas Kvali Shal Shana.
She'avra.
She'avra.
Because this is the time of the renewal, the general renewal of time or of year, of the year to come, the upcoming year. And the, excuse me. In a drawing down of the life force, the general life force, Shoshana She'avra, it's the end of the time of the drawing down of the life force of the year that's passed. Because that, who? So the highest of all the world of the year that passed goes up, Istala. It goes up. It's like all the world's having an elevation on Shabbos. Mm. All the past week goes up in Shabbos. All the past year goes up, which is Nistal, goes on up. And when does it happen? At the beginning of the night of Rosh Hashanah. Now we're going to blow the shofar, of course, during the day to draw down the new year. It's like the Times Square of the Torah. We're going to blow horns. When? But not at night, at day. At night, the old flow goes back up, and in the day, it comes down.
What goes on the second day? Okay. All right. Never mind you. Okay.
I don't know. The Lochan.
The Lochan and Rosh Hashanah, Yom
Hadin. I mean, I'm not going to get into it. Partly because it's just, on the side, and partly because I don't know. But one thing that is interesting about Rosh Hashanah, it's not like the other two-day holidays. Other two-day holidays are because it's like a Suffolk, which we don't know which day. Rosh Hashanah is a two-day holiday.
Right.
On its own. Everywhere. It's like one long day.
Right.
Yeah. Rosh Hashanah is the Yom, is the day of judgment. Where a person is judged on the deeds that that person has done, which passed. During the past year. Because in order for this, in the process of bringing down this totally new drawing down of general life force in this world, in that process,
Katrugim.
There are many accusers in the upper worlds who say, look at this guy, look at this person. They accuse Hala Adam. Whether this person and whether the collective humanity is worthy, proper, that you should renew them. It's like everything's hanging in the balance, you know? God is listening to these katrugim. These katrugim are old people. They've been around since the beginning of creation. And they lifted their voice at Matan Torah and said, what are you giving the Torah to these people? Look at the Yetzirah and what's going to happen if you give it. They're going to take the Torah and bring it into, into dark places. So they're making the, and God's ear is listening, right? So that's one side of the scale, right? And they're listening to him. Whether these people are fit for all of this new stuff that you're going to bring down from your supernal will, which is Begila Gamalkusa, to be revealed in your kingship. So there's a lot of accusation. Well, look at these folks who have broken the connection between you. They're not always taking upon themselves the yoke of heaven, the kingship of heaven, and certainly not in the actual ba'ava or baratzim with love and just, because they want to. Ki'im
le frikim be itim me zumnim she zokar et
melech malchim hamlochim
hakadosh baruch.
Yeah, so, they wake up occasionally and they say, oh my, Let me change my ways. And where am I going to look for how to change my ways? Well, we have Torah. The Torah tells us how the world is meant to be operated. So let me align myself. From time to time, these humans align themselves with the Torah and with what God's will is.
Mashim Kain Kol Hayam Hune.
But really, all day long, they're more involved with their own stuff, their own thoughts. This is Aramaic. Each person according to what each person knows in themselves. Be honest with yourself, and you might find moments of the day when you're only involved in your own thoughts and not necessarily what does Hashem want from you from this moment. And each one knows his own, where he's holding it.
Nizhar. Hin the
Sumera.
The Hin the.
Your mispronunciation is very good. Is good. We'll say it straight. And particularly, specifically, one is not careful in all the things that you should stay away from, or all the things that you're supposed to do. But this word "careful" is Zohar. It is Zohar.
Mm.
It's like you're not shining a light, a clear light, on, and in a manner to align straightly between your nefesh, your brain, your thought, speech, and action. There's no direct flashlight. You're not careful. You're not shining a light on it. It really means careful. And we'll go through this piece, and then we'll finish for tonight. Okay, but call after that. Each one, each person.
Okay.
Yeah, sure. Each one according to his level. Be honest with myself. Okay, I'm honest with myself. Hopefully, everyone who's listening here, just take a moment and just turn inward, and be honest with yourself about to what extent you've got a total shine from your godly soul out to every thought, speech, and deed you do. Or not. Because it's simply impossible that you should be able to draw down the supernal will in a revealed way, which is a revelation of God's kingship, when there is, God forbid, some kind of breaking of the yoke, throwing off of the yoke, of the connection between you and the kingdom of heaven, Ramata, down here below. So look at this. This is the simple thing. It rises up every year at this time. It rises up in God's Oyla Beratzin. It rises in God's mind. I want to recreate this thing. We're gonna start over, right? And I want to start higher. Hamshacha was right. I'm just going to, just start it all up again. Okay, fine. But now I've got these humans in the world, and I made it in such a way that the bringing down of what I want is going to be dependent on them drawing it down, right? So God has given us a tremendous responsibility. And it's something that I think, if you think about it, Steve Jobs once said that the only people who can change the world are the people who are crazy enough to think they can. And I would just put it, the only people who can change the world are the people like us who know that they can, because we've been told that we can, and we have everything we need to do it. And is it easy? No. But we have it. With this responsibility comes with a capability. And the capability is the Nefesh HaLakis, which is within us. We just have to figure out. Shine a light. And it isn't easy. It isn't easy, but that's what we were created for. And in doing so, we transform the darkness into light. I'm going to stop here.
Mm-hmm. That's beautiful.
We'll pick this up next
time.
We're
going to say Myra next week.
Yeah, I'm going to do this. We've got one more week. We only have one more week to write the summer. Yeah. We did one column. We'll do another call. Maybe I'll try, if I have time, to break it up in a way that we could finish it. I'll try.
Thank you very much.
All right, thank you. Thank you, everybody.